Vesha,
Vesha,
Samuttena,
Samuttena,
Dvandvamohena,
Dvandvamohena,
Bharata,
Bharata,
Sarvabhutani,
Sarvabhutani,
Sammoham,
Sammoham,
Sarge,
Sarge,
Yanti,
Yanti,
Parantapa,
Parantapa.
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Dvandva mohena bharata,
Dvandva mohena bharata,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sargeyanti parantapa,
Sargeyanti parantapa.
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Dvandva mohena bharata,
Dvandva mohena bharata,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sargeyanti parantapa,
Sargeyanti parantapa.
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Dvandva mohena bharata, Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sargeyanti parantapa,
Sargeyanti parantapa.
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Dvandva mohena bharata, Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sargeyanti parantapa,
Ichcha dvesha samuttena, Dvandva mohena bharata,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sargeyanti parantapa.
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Dvandva mohena bharata,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sargeyanti parantapa,
Sargeyanti parantapa.
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Dvandva mohena bharata,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sargeyanti parantapa,
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Dvandva mohena bharata,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sargeyanti parantapa.
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Dvandva mohena bharata,
Sarvabhutani sammoham,
Sargeyanti parantapa.
Ichcha dvesha samuttena,
Dvandva mohena bharata,
Sarvabhutani sammoham, Sargeyanti parantapa. Ichcha,
desire,
dvesha,
and hate,
samuttena,
arisen from,
dvandva,
of duality,
mohena,
by the illusion,
parata,
O scion of part,
sarva,
all,
Bhutani,
living entities,
sammoham,
into delusion,
sarge,
while taking birth,
yanti,
go,
parantapa,
O conqueror of enemies.
O scion of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe,
All living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Purport. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vichamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ichcha Dvesha Samuttena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammoham Sarge Yanti Parantapa. Srila Prabhupada traces this desire and hate all the way to the top. He doesn't dwell in the petty desires and hatreds of the material world. He at once points to the fundamental desire of the bewildered living being and the fundamental hatred. And that is that he says that we want to be God. Or one with God. somebody says. Of course, there are those who are deliberately seeking oneness with God. They want to be, to merge with God, to feel that there's no difference between themselves and God. And that Srila Prabhupada ascribes to desire and envy. We want to be to flatten the playing field. God is great, and I'm no less. God is great, and I'm no less. I'm equal to God in all respects. That's, Prabhupada says, envious or motivated by desire. Or somebody says, well, no, I don't want to become one with God. And why do you say that I want to be God? I personally found this a little perplexing. Prabhupada would so many times say, so we are, the living entity desires to be God. And I thought, well, I don't desire to be God. You know, I hardly even believe in God. You know, why? Where's this desire to be God? I have a lot of other desires, but I never wanted particularly to be God. I never thought, you know, I wish I were the creator of the universe. I wish I were the making the sun move and the moon go. So why is Prabhupada saying that we want to be God? You know, I'd be happy to just be kind of, maybe just to be a little rich and famous, or rich and well regarded, or something. But why God? But then as time went on, and I thought about it more, God means the person who's in the center of everything. God means the person who's in the center of everything. As the stomach is the central point to which all the food is delivered, or the root is the central point to which all the water is given for the tree, I think of myself as the center of my universe. The expression is looking out for number one. They don't mean God. Myself. In any given circumstance, my first concern is, what about me? What about me? Or, what about those who belong to me? You know, if I were in a plane crash, the first thing is, what about me? And the second thing is, what about my laptop? And someplace down the priority list is, what about the other passengers? Everyone is thinking, what about me? Either what about me specifically, or in relationship to me? What about my family? Or a little extended, what about my friends? Or what about my countrymen? Or what about the members of my group? But not, what about everyone? Maybe extended, what about all the human beings? But it's all in relationship to me. What about women, if I'm a woman? What about men, if I'm a man? What about me and mine? You're important because you're related to me. Otherwise, like one time, our Bhavananda Prabhu was arrested in Bengal in connection with some disturbances there, and the American ambassador or the American consul was contacted. Hare Krishna. Okay. We have a spot for you. If you move up a little bit, she can sit on that sofa.
Yeah. chair is available also to someone in my seat in the chair.
And you don't have to be shy about using these sofas because we probably need the space. Okay. So the American official was contacted. We need your help. So you set up. My first question is he American? If he's American, we'll do everything for him. Not American can go to hell. If he's in relationship to me or us, then we'll do something for him. And if he's not, he can go to hell. We think that way in terms of me and the extensions of myself in the form of family members, countrymen, whatever. Me and mine. So I'm the central point. And if I'm not the central point, I feel miffed. Why am I being eclipsed by these other people? Why have I been beaten out by these other people? Why are they getting more than I am? You know, brother and sister, you gave him more. Why did you give him more? That's not fair. What about me? What about me? Everyone thinks of himself or herself as being the most important person. Maybe not explicitly, I'm the most important person. That would be proud. But humbly thinks that, what about me? What about me? Even there are so many therapies and self-development programs and so on, which were all about me. What about me? I'm so screwed up. What about me? Me. So we want to be the central point of interest, the central point of concern. We want to be the enjoyers. If it's mine, I should be able to enjoy it. We want to own this or that, and we want to enjoy what we own. So that's essentially God's position. He's the owner of everything, and he's the enjoyer of everything. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokam. He's also the best friend of all living beings. We like to take that position also. If I'm not going one way, accumulating, this is mine, and I'm going the other way, I want to help everyone else. And then they say, Jayadvaita Swami gives his life for the benefit of others. I say, shucks, gee. I get my pleasure that way from being the best friend of everyone. So that's God's position. So it's so that we want to occupy the position of the most important enjoyer. We want to occupy the position of the owner. We want to occupy the position of the friend to others, which is God's position. And to various degrees, we're envious of God. Why should I have to give to God, especially these in the modern Kali Yuga? Why are they building these churches for God? Why are they always praying to God? God. envious. They won't complain if the people are talking about me. But God. And they would like to, in fact, get rid of God. That rather than have God be the origin of everything, we can make some philosophy by which matter becomes the source of everything. God can be cut out of the deal. He's unnecessary. His participation is not required. we can get on very well. The whole so-called Renaissance rests on this idea that why should everybody be praying to God all the time? Why should everyone be glorifying God? And you, so you see the religious art going from depictions of God's well, pastimes, God and Jesus and saints. It goes down to naked women. Naked women, naked men, the human body,
right.
And even things like you know, ducks and geese hanging dead from a hook.
Everyday life.
The world. We're not interested in God. So this is the original desire. Let me enjoy. Why should I? There's a very excellent line in Paradise Lost where Satan says, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. There was a band some years back. I never heard them, but their name was rather striking. Kings in the Service of Satan.
Kiss.
Yeah. Oh. They didn't mind being servants if they could be kings. And of course everyone is competing to be king, to be president, to be chairman of the board, to be number one. So this is ultimately, let me be important. Let me be important. Ichcha, let me enjoy. And dvesha, why should God enjoy? In fact, why should anybody else, at the expense of others, let me enjoy? Otherwise, if there are no skin off my back, let them enjoy also. But if it comes down to their enjoyment or my enjoyment, let me enjoy. And let me cut them out. Ichcha dvesha. Dvesha means envy or hatred. And ichcha means enjoyment. Ichcha dvesha simultena. Dvandva mohena. And from this ichcha and dvesha, from desire and hatred, come duality. My team and their team, my party and their party, insiders and outsiders, my countrymen and foreigners, friends and enemies, comrades and whatever else, non-comrades. However you define it, my group and those who are not part of my group or against my group, the establishment and the anti-establishment, labor and management, one way or another, us and them, yes, us and them. So this is duality, thinking in terms of friends and enemies, us and them. My family and the competition, us and the competition. The competition is everybody. So this is duality. And along with this duality, so many other dualities come. Moha, by illusion. The first duality actually is I think I'm this body. I place myself in that set of dualities. There's a difference between myself and my body. And then I think in terms of I'm this body, and then I think in terms of heat and cold and happiness and distress, and I like it, I don't like it. So many dualities. Therefore the world is called the world of dualities. The world of dualities. But, therefore the self-realized person
is described. Pandita Samadarshana, he sees equally. He's beyond duality. Materially, he sees no difference. Samalo Strashma Kanchana, between pebbles, stone, and gold. For him, it's all the same. He's not looking for the best food and the best this and the best that. Whatever Krishna sends, it's all okay. And in terms of living beings, he doesn't see the distinction between the human beings and the animals, or the human beings and the trees, or these human beings and those human beings. He sees that everyone is spirit soul, everyone is, a spiritual living being, spark of consciousness, different from the body. And bodies are all the same ultimately, in one sense also. At the end, they're all, what is that, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said there were Hindu-Muslim riots in Calcutta when he was a child, and so many people were killed, and at the end, they threw all the bodies somewhere, and nobody cared who was Hindu, who was Muslim. Mm-hmm. They were all dead bodies. Can't distinguish. Mm-hmm. Or you can, but so what? Now it no longer makes a difference. So the bodies, ultimately, they're made of the same earth, water, fire, air. And the souls are all the same in terms of sharing spiritual qualities, being made of spiritual energy. So this is actual oneness. The matter is all one, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And spirit is one, ultimately. But still, there's individuality. There's in my house and the next house. If I walk in the door here, I haven't walked in the door there. Just this house is the same as the one next door. But still, they're individual. Not that in the name of, suppose if we've just adopted the communist philosophy, and everybody had to live in worker housing and everything was exactly the same and everybody got one clock on the wall coming from the same factory. So every place would be the same. It would all be one. There'd be no difference between one and the next. But still, walking into my house and walking into the next house would be different. They're all individual units of the same drab worker housing nature. And spirit soul is all of the same effulgent nature. Matter is ultimately drab. Even if you live in a palace, it's the same drab, earth, water, fire, dressed up a little bit. But finally, it's all dirt, really. Just a different kind of dirt put together a different way. Someone lives in this house, someone lives in another house. Well, finally, a house is a house. Someone eats very good food, someone eats not so good food. Finally, food is food. The saintly person is not interested in getting ahead materially, because, all right, I eat here, I eat there, it's eating anyway. I sleep here, I sleep there, it's sleeping anyway. What's the big difference at the end of the day? So let me come to the spiritual platform. The platform of matter is the platform of duality and illusion. Moha means illusion. The original illusion is that I'm thinking that I'm this body. Dvandva Mohina. Do we need the fan? I think it's maybe.
You're
going to have to click it 3 times and it will stop.
This guy?
Right?
Yeah.
One,
two,
three. Good. Okay. Yeah. As the day goes on, it gets a little cooler. So, Sarva Bhutani Sammoham. I see, yeah, now it gets a little chillier outside. That's what's going on. Mm-hmm. Sarva Bhutani Sammoham. Everyone is completely bewildered. Moha means bewildered, and some moha, utterly bewildered, 100%, completely bewildered. Who's bewildered? Sarva Bhutani, every living being. The fish are bewildered, thinking, I'm a fish. Of course, they hardly think, but they're completely absorbed in being fish. And the tree is just treeing along. And the human beings have power of thought, but they also misuse it, thinking, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm young, I'm old, I'm this, I'm that. Thinking in terms of this body. And in this way, sammoha, bewildered and completely forgetting about Krishna. Or being unable to understand Krishna. Being unable to understand Krishna. Being so absorbed in dualities that when we think Krishna, we think he's also part of the world of dualities. We think he's also part of the world of dualities. We think he must also be an ordinary person like us because we're so absorbed in it. And Atmavan Manyate Jagat, everyone thinks everyone else is like them. If I'm greedy, I think everybody else must be greedy too. So we think that Krishna is an ordinary living being because of our bewilderment. So with all of these bewilderments, with all of this illusion, the result is sarge yanti. Everybody goes into material creation. Again and again. I'm absorbed in duality, I'm absorbed in illusion, and therefore I have to be born again in another body, another lifetime. And then again, illusion, duality, then again, another lifetime, another lifetime, another lifetime. When this all started, we don't know, we can't trace out. But due to this mentality of individual material desire, independent desire, and antipathy toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're in this material world. And one gets out of this material world by the opposite, by cultivating love of Krishna, love of God, by reviving our natural, before we speak of love, first we have to speak of attraction, or at least a little faith. Faith doesn't mean I've seen the truth, but it means a little interest, a little tentative openness. That's the beginning. All right, maybe. Then from all right, maybe, to that sounds reasonable. From that sounds reasonable to it makes a lot of sense. From it makes a lot of sense to, yeah, I guess that's the way it is. Makes more sense than any other way of looking at it. From it makes more sense to anything else. It's like, this really makes sense. This really, this explains it more adequately, more completely than anything else. Till it becomes experienced fact. What is that? Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. It becomes naishtiki, it becomes solid. That by experience. I thought it might be interesting, then I found out, pursued it, then I got into it, then I found out it was fantastic. I thought it might explain things, then I investigated further, then I found that it absolutely explains things. One becomes convinced, yes, this is correct, by practical experience. Yes, this is right. Just like eating, somebody says this is good. Say, no, I'm not that hungry. No, it's really good. No, this is made by my grandmother. She's a fantastic cook. You got to try it. It's her recipe. Then you say, all right, give me a little piece. You take a little piece and you say, no, not so bad. Give me a little more. Then after the 20th cookie or something, you say, gee, that was really fantastic. From your practical experience. From your practical experience. So by practical experience also, one thinks, well, what is this, Hare Krishna? Then one thinks, well, maybe, you know. Then by chanting, one gets practical experience. Chaito darpana marjanam, the heart becomes purified. The one becomes joyful. One gets spiritual realization by chanting. One realizes that the chanting is not simply another material sound, but abhinnatan naminam. There's no difference between God and God's name, between Krishna, the name, and Krishna, the person. In the beginning, it's a doctrine, a teaching, an assertion. But by chanting, it's not that one has to speculate, well, is it really, is it really? But by chanting, one experiences. Philosophically, also, you can investigate. There's so much written about this topic by the great acharyas. But one can experience also. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartamavya. Krishna says that this is the king of knowledge, the king of all confidential understanding. Rajavidya rajaguhyam pavitram idamuttamam. It's the most pure and purifying way of living. And pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. It gives direct experience of self-realization. Su-sukam kartamavya. Therefore, it's joyfully performed. Very joyfully performed. Sukha means happiness. And su-sukha, very happy. As long as I'm thinking I'm this body, I'm sometimes happy, sometimes distressed. Sometimes that means I'm actually distressed. Happiness mixed with distress is distress. Just like if you have some kheer, some sweet rice, and it's very sweet, it's very tasty, nice fresh milk from Adikarta's cow. And then somebody puts, oh, say a teaspoonful of sand in the sweet rice. And then somebody says, it's not really so bad, you just kind of got to learn to take the good with the bad. It doesn't work that way. It's not take the good with the bad, and there's the good, and there's the bad. The bad is bad, and the good is also bad. Because the bad spoils the good. Material life is very nice, except janma mrityu jara vyadhi. There's birth and death, there's disease and old age. Otherwise, it's nice. Therefore, Krishna says, one should always be aware of these things. Dukkha dosha nidarshana. One should not be bewildered by the covering potency of maya and think, yes, it's very nice. One should know that actually it's problematic. Material existence is problematic. Otherwise, how will I get out? Half the problem of the conditioned life is being dull. We're so dull. We think, it's not so bad. As long as it's not so bad, then we have to remain complacent and stuck. But knowledge begins that, no, actually it's bad. It's problematic. All these environmental problems, the beginning is to understand, oh, we have a problem. Till we understand we have a problem, oh, it's not so bad. Then we understand, oh, the ozone layer is disappearing, the forests are disappearing, the water is unusable, the air can't be breathed. We start to see we have a problem. Then you can start to do something about it. So one should be aware of the problems of material existence. Then one can begin to do something about it. And the acharyas are recommending that the best thing to do about it is take this chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. All right, we have some questions.
Just thinking about the analogy when you were talking about the grandmother's cooking, and I guess I run away with analogies, but I was thinking how if you want somebody to eat something, it helps, and they don't want to eat it, it helps if they're hungry. And not everybody is hungry for spiritual realization.
Mm.
At the same time, though, by association, people develop a taste even if they're not hungry,
mm.
you know, or they don't think they're hungry.
Mm.
So.
And there are four kinds of hungry men. Those who are in distress, those who are looking for money, those who are curious, and those who are looking for knowledge. They've got some hunger. I mean, so it's distress. They're hungering for a solution. I'm so ruined financially, so they're hungry for a solution. Or they're curious. They're hungering to know. Or they're actually searching for knowledge. They're still more hungry. So the fortunate persons will have a little hunger. Otherwise, dull. But yeah, by association also. They're not curious, but by association they become curious. They're not looking for knowledge, but by association. They don't realize they have a problem, but by association
mm-hmm.
they realize they have a problem.
Mm-hmm. You were saying early in your discussion how when you were first presented with the idea that the living entity wants to be God,
mm.
you thought, well, I don't maybe even believe in God. I don't want to speak of wanting to be God. But then he said as time went on, you started to understand the mentality of what it is to be God,
mm.
to be the center, and to be. And I was thinking how originally the living entity is a servant of Krishna,
mm.
and has that mentality.
Mm.
And then when they come to this place, it's not only that they're covered with a gross body and mind, and but it seems like they also are blessed or cursed with that exact mentality that, oh, you don't want to be a servant of Krishna. Well, then here's this psychology for you that makes you want these things that God has, that the controlling, the enjoying, the knowing. And that's becoming more and more apparent to me,
hmm.
how that psychology of wanting to be God really is implanted in us. Is that the false ego, or?
Yeah, false ego means as soon as you turn away from God, immediately false ego is there. False ego is that subtle point at which we turn away from Krishna and toward Maya. So that, that's good. That subtle point at which I turn away from Krishna and toward Maya, that why should I serve? Let me reign. Or let me be served. Why should I be dependent? Let me be independent. Why should I be on the periphery? Let me be the center. As soon as that mentality is there, at once I'm in material consciousness. And as soon as I'm in material consciousness, at once I'm in the material world. What's the difference between the material world and the spiritual world is consciousness. As soon as I'm thinking, let me be independent. Once I'm in the material world. My hand probably gave the example. Turn it this way, once your hand is in the light, you turn it that way, once it's in the darkness. As soon as you turn away from the light, once you're in darkness. Yeah.
As you said, we have this controlling and desire.
Mm.
Is it because of our previous reaction to previous karma?
And because of that, and that was because of previous. Prabhupada traces it. There's this root mentality. Persistent mentality, persistent disease. Let me be the enjoyer. Let me be independent. It's not just the reaction of this life, that life, but at base there's this mentality. Let me enjoy. Let me control. You can trace it. That's from the previous life, but you can't even trace when it began. Since time immemorial, anadi bahir mukjiv, bhogavanja. Since time immemorial, we're turning away from Krishna and trying to enjoy. And therefore being slapped by Maya.
Yeah. metaphors. This idea of wanting to be God, and I guess maybe I would like, you know, some correction or some evaluation of the mentality that I think I have. In one sense, after you become a devotee, or at least aspire to become a devotee, you think, okay, Krishna is in charge, and that's the way it is, and I can't do it. But there's still this idea of wanting to be in the center, in the relative sense, to other living entities. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you think, okay, I don't have an argument with Krishna, but I have all these other, you know, all these other living entities that I have an argument with. But then I thought, if every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, in one sense, I still have the argument of Krishna with Krishna, because I'm arguing with these parts of Krishna, you know, and they're sort of like representatives of Krishna in a way, and because I'm not the one in the center, I'm still arguing with Krishna.
There's gross Maya and there's subtle Maya.
Yeah.
There's first the gross, you know, I'm this body and life has been for sense gratification and God is dead and so on. Then you get cured of that, and then there's the subtle Maya that still I'm more important, I'm more good looking, I'm more intelligent, I'm more, I deserve more because I am more, whatever. One way or another, where I want more, we're not completely pure. So I'm still desiring sense gratification. I'm still thinking, after so many years, in terms of these bodily designations. I'm still thinking in terms of mind, I. So that's quite persistent. The disease is quite persistent. First you have to, you know, first you wipe out the main infection, but then there's, you know, little cultures growing here and there. In fact, that's what we call culture is mostly the culture of false ego. You know, American culture, European culture, Latin American culture, Southern culture, Northern culture. It's the culture of my identity in terms of this body.
Where do you draw the line in terms of you know, I know that you have to have duty, you know, you have relationships with other people and you have duties to perform. But if, let's say, in the course of duties or relationships, there is some pain that you're experiencing, how do you know when you're supposed to endure and tolerate? I mean, are you supposed to tolerate in all respects, or do you say, this is not the right position to be in, I'm out of here, you know? Or to fight back, or, you know.
By Shastra.
Mm.
Tasmat Shastra Pramanante Karya Karya Vivastata Gyatva Shastra Vidhanantam Karma Kartam Viharasi. One has to do the work which is Karya, my prescribed duty, which is meant for me to do. What's meant for me to do? That we have to determine from Shastra. Shastra means from scripture, from the direction given by God. Not just, but now the direction is how I feel. You know, it just didn't feel right to me. I felt trapped. I felt, you know, I don't know, I just didn't feel like I wanted to. I felt. It's all about my feelings.
But sometimes, Maharaj, there's the concept of what we always do, what's favorable to our Krishna consciousness, and avoid what's unfavorable, but that can also get pretty me-centered, if I'm
but
in a sense.
What's, it's all right, what's favorable, what's unfavorable, but what's favorable and unfavorable for Krishna consciousness is not always how, what I feel is favorable. You know, I feel it would be so much more favorable for my Krishna consciousness if, you know, whatever it is that I want for my sense gratification were what I was doing. You know, it would be so much more favorable for my Krishna consciousness if I could live on the Riviera and preach there.
Maybe.
sure I could talk myself into it, you know. But it's how I feel. I feel this would be so much better for my Christian. I feel that one time Prabhupada said, damn your feelings. It's not about our feelings, how I feel. It's about what my duty is. Lord Ramchandra didn't say, well, I didn't feel like going. I don't feel like going to the forest. It's my duty to go to the forest. Mm-hmm. Arjun, I don't feel like fighting with my friends and relatives. Mm-hmm. Krishna said, damn your feelings. It's your duty. You're a kshatriya. Mm-hmm. So one has to know what to do and what not to do, not just by our feelings, but by higher direction, by the direction of Shastra. You know, every child, how many children feel like doing their homework? Or feel like going to school, for that matter? You know, it feels like playing basketball or baseball all day. But he has some duties which are made plain to him. You have to do this, you have to do that. You have to pay your taxes. How many of us feel like paying our taxes? But we have to, it's the law. And the law says we all feel like giving less too. But the law says, no, you're in this bracket, you have to give this much, and by this date. Otherwise, there'll be penalties. Why be? Because it's your duty. If you're a citizen, you have to pay your taxes. Someone said, I don't feel like taking care of this kid anymore. The court says, we don't care how you feel. It's your duty. Well, so many ways. So, or I feel like doing something. No, it's not your duty. Someone else's duty. Mm-hmm. From Shastra, we should know. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it is asked what you would like to do for Krishna.
Even then, I'd like to do this for Krishna, but the spiritual master wants me to do that for Krishna. Therefore, the spiritual master's direction is there. It's not just about, you know, otherwise, practically, you know, every young person, anyone below the age of 20 who joins, would be playing rock music for Krishna. You know? It's not just about what I'd like to do for Krishna. It's what Krishna would... That maybe in the beginning we're encouraged. Yes, whatever you like, do that for Krishna. But if one wants to advance more, then it's not about just what I like. It's about what Krishna wants from me. Or what the spiritual master wants from me. Maybe you should be attached to Krishna. Hmm. You know, I would like to do something that will bring me comfort or fame or that will get me involved in things that I was always interested in, or whatever. But the spiritual master says, no, we want you to do this. We need someone to do that. Then sacrifice. That, well, I'll give up what I want to do for what Krishna's representative wants me to do. Sometimes it's the same. I'd like to do this, and the spiritual master says, very good, you do that. Sometimes he says, no, we need someone here. Go there.
Can you speak about the aspect of individuality and nature, one's own nature, inclinations?
Yeah. We have, everyone has different inclinations, mainly concerned with conditioned life. Because I'm affected by certain modes of nature, I have certain inclinations. The drunkard, because he's affected by ignorance, feels like heading for the pub. The scholar because he's affected by certain modes of nature feels like heading for the library. The businessman, because he's affected by some modes of nature, feels like heading for the stock exchange. Hmm? Oh, and in so many gross and subtle ways, we have various inclinations because of our conditioned nature. And therefore, because people have different inclinations, the Varnashram system divides society up and says, okay, if you're inclined to fight, if you're inclined to be a hero, if you're inclined to be a leader, then you be the treacher, you be the soldier. If you're inclined to scholarship, if you're inclined to teaching, if you're inclined to self-purification, if you're inclined to these things, then you be the intellectual leader. You be the teacher. If you're inclined to making a profit, if you're inclined to doing business, if you're inclined to growing things and selling what you grow or living, then you be the farmer. And if your inclination is just to, well, I don't know, but you can help out, then you be the ordinary worker. So society is divided up by Varnashram according to people's inclinations. According to the way I'm inclined, I'll be good for a certain kind of work. I'll develop qualification for a certain kind of work. And then the Varnashram says, all right, you do this. Otherwise, on the spiritual platform, it's according to what the spiritual master wants. Materially prescribed duties are in terms of the modes of nature we've acquired. And spiritually, it's according to the direction of the spiritual master. So the spiritual master may take into account this person likes to do this, this person's good at that. Or he may say, you just do this. So whatever the spiritual master says, that's our duty. Is that okay? Otherwise, everyone's really his own man. You know, you say, well, I'm doing this for Krishna, but if Krishna wants me to do something else, I won't do it. But surrender means that even if I don't like it, I'll do it. Or even if I do like it, I'll give it up for Krishna's service.
Can you ever do that too soon, though?
Do what? Follow the spiritual master's orders too soon?
Well, give up something that you would like to do before.
If the spiritual master tells me, do it, it's not too soon.
What about those who are uninitiated?
So they get direction from some more experienced persons. I know you'd like to do such and such thing, but it's better if you do such and such other thing. So they gradually become properly directed.
Discussing how sometimes we understand that this is the right thing to do, and then we become interested, and then we start practicing, and then there's these higher and higher levels. And there's something that makes sense to me is celibacy. It just makes sense. Like if I talk to someone about it, it just makes sense. On the other hand, to actually practice it seems so difficult. I mean, how do we transcend that making sense to actually practicing?
By doing it. The more you do it, the more sense it makes, and the more it becomes practical. The person who's trying to give up something, the person says, I could never give up such and such. But then after a week without it, 2 weeks without it, 3 weeks without it, I could live without it. And then he starts to realize, yeah, you know, I was killing myself with drinking or smoking or whatever it is. I'm so much better off without it. So his experience reinforces his understanding, and his understanding reinforces his experience.
Mm-hmm. Isn't a big part of that also what you tell yourself about it? Like, you know, if you're practicing it, but you're telling yourself, But yeah, we'd be better off if I weren't celibate. You know what I mean? Like.
Well, yeah, sure. It has to do with the mind. So much is imagination. One is imagining. Wow, look at that girl. If she were my girlfriend, wow, would I be happy? And meanwhile, her boyfriend is thinking, how do I dump this girl? Or he's thinking she's such a hassle. So much of it's in the mind. I take that back. All of it's in the mind. There was some Charlie Chaplin's bona fide because Prabhupada. There's some Charlie Chaplin film, and Charlie Chaplin's wandering around someplace in a big park or something. This girl rides by on a horse, and somehow or other it's like, wow. You know, and she starts, this girl is like, wow. And then starts thinking about her, and then the thought balloons become a scene, and he's imagining that he's in a little cottage and they're married and they have little kids and, you know, everything's so happy, happy, happy. And then somehow or other he catches up with her, or she rides by again, and he sees that she has glasses. The whole thing falls apart. So it's imagination. What is that? Prajahati yada kaman sarvan parta manogata. Sankalpa prabhavan kaman chakvan sarvan asheshata. The desires which arise from mental concoction. I'm imagining. You know, the whole science of advertising is practically speaking about imagination. Picture yourself. Behind the wheel of a there was some computer ad, you know, and the guy is sitting at his computer, and his wife or girlfriend is kind of looking over his shoulder in admiration. You know, picture yourself. There's so much of advertising is picture yourself. Get that imagination going. I needed to call IBM service, you know, 1-800 number. So I dialed the number. Hello, sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, wrong number. You know, but that's also about the same thing, getting things going in the imagination.
Yeah.
I thought you had dialed the right number. That was like the new way that IBM was answering.
Yeah, they changed their customer service policies. Yeah.
Less complaints.
You had a video you showed me about two shots for people. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, that.
I think it was some kind of water ad for that.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I don't know if you can describe it.
Well, I have it on my laptop, actually. I have a couple of them, actually. There's one from Tokyo also. Did I show you that one?
Yeah, they're both very good. Examples of that.
Examples of how illusion. How illusion, from illusion one imagines so many things. There's a short story I read. If someone gets a prize if they can identify where this story's from, because I read it when I was a kid and I can't figure out where it's from.
Mm-hmm.
But about some woman, she's like a sweeping woman, a servant woman or something. There's some ventriloquist who's coming to town, and she's actually working at the theater or something, and the ventriloquist is this like tall, handsome man with, you know, like a mustache and this and that, and the dummy is a little dummy sitting on his lap. She, like, somehow every night she just like goes in through the back door and sits and watches him, and, you know, like. And then just before the show's over, she, you know, she sneaks out the door again and goes back home. And then And finally, I guess it's like the night before he's supposed to leave town or something, she screws up her courage and she, you know, actually she goes backstage to the green room, mm-hmm. and there she finds out that the ventriloquist is the dummy. And the ventriloquist that she was in love with, he falls over on the floor, and then his little glass eyeball rolls down the, down the floor. You know, it's quite a cool story. The whole thing was based on imagination. Yamarash has a question. Judith has a question.
Nope.
That hand is. Judith's hand has a question. Okay.
Well, Maharaj, I was thinking, you know, a lot of people get caught up in the political, you know, the political fads and things like that. And this recently, just like the other day, I had a realization because I got sort of caught up in it mentally myself, you know. And when the president went on a trip to Mexico, I was just reading a little bit, I don't want to get into the detail, but I saw a contradiction, and it didn't make sense at all, you know, so I started thinking about a class I heard, and I forget who made the class, but anyway, the guru was saying that we have to, you know, that we're going to have these politics are going to come and go, some of them are more favorable to maybe helping spread Christian consciousness than others. But we really we have to not get caught up in that, we both get caught up in that.
Yeah, politics is also imagination. The politicians paint a picture for you to vote for, and it's just an imagination. Imagine that the budget's going to be balanced. Imagine that everybody's going to have a job. Imagine that your life is going to be so much better, that there'll be a chicken in every pot, or that America will be respected all over the world, or imagine that there'll be no more corruption in government. So there's so much imagination. And, you know, vote for your dream. One paints one dream, another paints another dream. But it's all, there's some getting away from imagination and getting down to reality. There was some public figure, I forget who he was, who said that anyone who's done what it takes to become the candidate for president from a major political party should be automatically disqualified. Politicians come and go, their policies come and go, their governments come and go. These things are less important.
Just on that train of thought, why is it, what I get from the involvement that devotees get in these issues is that we make a separation between what's Krishna's business and what's other business. And I mean, I guess in one sense there is, you know, material business going on, but it seems that if you put your faith in it, you know, that there's some material solution to problems, that's why we get caught up in these political issues, no? Or is it a fact that, you know, some material situations are better than others?
There may be better. It's not that all policies are equal, mm-hmm. all candidates are equal. But the real politician, the actually qualified person, is so different from what's offered by any party. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, the people who are the viable candidates are bought and sold 1,000 times before they come to office. Like our president, our recently elected president, he's against the war in Iraq. Iraq, he's going to pull us out of Iraq. On the other hand, he's going to say that the real place we need to send everybody is to Afghanistan to chase after the abominable snowman or whoever, whatever that guy's name is. And he wants to have, you know, more fair and decent social welfare programs, but he also wants to liberalize or practically enforce under some circumstances abortion. So, you know, they're all the candidates are bewildered. If we actually had a Krishna conscious candidate, qualified person, that would be different. But they're, you know, which kind of Maya do you like best?
The first bill he signed was like a pro-abortion bill. And I was just blown away by that one.
That was part of his campaign promises, though.
He has practically the most radical record in the Senate of any of the anyone in the Senate in terms of abortion. Most radical policies, most radical ideas. It was recorded someplace, somebody. Did you send me that?
Yeah, I think so.
You got your choice of which kind of Maya, you know. It's not that I'm a George Bush fan, but yeah, I'm a Krishna fan.
That's the point, is why put your faith in those people. You know, I mean, you might say one's better than the other, but to think that they're actually...
I mean, the black guy I voted for isn't in the White House. He's running the universe.
I have a question. It is said that Lord Chaitanya's special mercy was that he opened this process for everyone, but was not Bhagavad Gita was also open for everyone to follow, I mean, to surrender to Krishna?
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's not that it wasn't available, but he made it accessible and practical. Anyone could, the yoga system was there, but how easy was it to follow? Even like in the school class, the teacher says, you know, now write A, now write B, now write C. Anyone can do it. But when the students aren't getting it, then the teacher himself picks up the pen and says, you see, A, B, C. So by demonstration, that yes, it's practical, you can do it this way. By practical demonstration and by giving the right means. Some, it's like the yoga system is available for everyone, but it's not practical for us. But this chanting is practical.
Because the duality of us and them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when I first got into this movement, I encountered, you know, the vocabulary is devotee. Is he a devotee, non-devotee,
mm-hmm.
devotee, non-devotee? How
mm-hmm.
do we transcend that duality?
Well, there's these differences are there, but it shouldn't be that if he's a devotee, then I love him, and if he's a non-devotee, the hell with him.
Mm-hmm.
In one sense, where we may give more attention to the non-devotees. The non-devotees need more help.
Mm.
Or sometimes we may give more attention to the devotees, but not that... In any case, devotee, non-devotee, we see in relationship to Krishna. That every pure devotee sees, Uttamadhikari sees, they're all devotees.
Mm.
Madhyamadhikari has to make some distinctions.
No,
this is offered. This is offered, okay. Thank you very much. Madhyamadhikari makes distinctions. These are the devotees, these are the atheists, these are the innocent.
Mm.
Hmm? Because he, so the innocent I can preach to, they'll benefit. The atheists, the demons, best thing I can do for them is avoid them. And the devotees I can make friends with. And you can so there's everything is one, at the same time everything is different. Fruits are all one, but there's a difference between the mango, the pear, the apple.
Sometimes we use those designations to bolster our false egos, no? Like, you know, I'm a devotee and you're not.
Yeah, that may also be there. To the extent that I'm affected by false ego, I'm a devotee, but you are. Dirt.
But, suppose I am in if I chant Hare Krishna, then will I come out of duality, or I have to chant Hare Krishna on the platform of non-duality, then I will, I mean, come out of duality?
That got complicated, didn't it? Just chant Hare Krishna. As soon as you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna's on the platform of non-duality. And the more you chant Hare Krishna and hear Hare Krishna and become absorbed in that meditation on Krishna, the more you're above duality.
But then there are devotional services in the modes, and like
therefore, but Krishna's not in the modes. Devotional service may be devotional service in ignorance, devotional, but the more you, but Krishna's not in the modes. So the more you associate with Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, the more you transcend the modes. Sagunan samiti chaitan brahmahuri.
No, so the offenseless chanting.
Yeah, the offenseless chanting will be more effective. But even the offensive chanting will be somewhat effective. Therefore, we begin, all right, let me chant whatever it is. Offensive, not offensive, let me chant. And let me try to avoid these offenses. So then it becomes more, the offenses start to drop aside. The more you put aside the offenses or get free from the offenses, the more the chanting becomes effective.
Also, I heard a lecture by Bhakti Maharaj. He said that we have to consciously remove all the things. I mean,
yeah, that's why we're told avoiding 10 offenses means you have to know what they are, and then you have to consciously avoid them. That's otherwise we wouldn't even bother to be told these are the offenses to avoid. We just find out about it later, these are the offenses that went away. But because some conscious attention is needed, we're told, avoid this offense, avoid that offense.
Mm-hmm. One related question. I always wonder that if Krishna is capable of delivering all the souls, of course he is, but I'm just posing it like this, then why doesn't he deliver all of them right now? And if he's not delivering, it means that
they don't want to be delivered.
Yeah, so
he's not forcing that. You want to stay here, but I'm going to deliver you. You want to stay here, stay here. You want to be delivered,
yeah.
I'll deliver you.
So the question goes one more level deeper than this, that can he make people that they want to be delivered?
He can make you anything, but Krishna gives you independence. Yatechasita Thakuru. After speaking Bhagavad Gita, he told Arjuna, now I've spoken to you the whole Bhagavad Gita, now you can do as you like.
It takes the fun out of it if he makes you.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of misery here. I mean, it is a heavy
but
price.
But that's, it's the price. But that's, the alternative is force. You must love me. You must serve me.
No, but he is the most expert. He can really make you feel that you
so he's, then why question the way he's done it if he's the most expert? He's the most expert, and he's done it this way. He's let you keep your independence and made it up to you.
Yeah, so logically I accept it, but I'm not. I'm just still thinking about it.
It's okay for you to pass out prasadam.
If he made you love him, it wouldn't be real love because it would be.
Yeah,
like
I understand that logic.
But the thing is, you're saying reality should be different. Why isn't reality not you know something else? And it's reality. You can't argue with it.
Yeah,
I mean we can, you know, if I were in charge, I'd do it a different way.
Behold the world.
But Krishna did it this way.
Yeah. So I have good faith in that Krishna is really expert. He's the most kind. He's the most intelligent. So that whatever is going on is really the best thing. So,
yeah, so then all we have to do
but
is
I don't understand it.
Yeah, that's okay. We don't understand it. But if we take his advice, he says, do this, do this, do this. Patram pushpam palam cha. Give me a leaf. Give me a little water. Give me a little this, that. Not so hard. Krishna's so humble, he says, just give a little leaf, give a little water. Bhakti with some love and devotion. It doesn't make it so terribly impossible, but we have to want to do it.
Yeah.
We were reading the Bhagavatam last week, and Prabhupada in the purport to one of the verses in chapter 18, he describes the Gyanis, the Yogis, and the the boxes of all being transcendental.
Hmm.
And I was just wondering what. So our goal is definitely more than just transcendence.
Hmm. Yeah, the Gyanis, the Yogis, the Bhaktas, they're all after transcendence.
Hmm.
So they're all transcendentalists. But they're after transcendence in different features.
Hmm.
The Gyani is after the impersonal feature of the Absolute. The Yogi is after the Super Soul feature. And the Bhakta is after the personality of Godhead.
Mm. Yeah, that was the question is, Artha Jigyasu, Artha Jnani. So Krishna made four categories. But I am not, I was just thinking about it just now, and I felt that they do not look mutually exclusive. Because the one who is in need of money and one is who is distressed, they look same.
Yeah, there may be, how do you say? You know, these categories always involve generalization. Mm-hmm. I say this is a table, and I say that's a table,
mm-hmm.
but they're not quite the same. They're categories. And maybe even the chair is some like something more like a table sometimes. You know, you can put something on the chair and use it as a table. So things are... you know, there are things where is that a tree or is it a shrub? Well, it could be a shrub, it could be a tree. It's kind of somewhat like a shrub, somewhat like a tree. So categories overlap. But still we put things into categories. Yeah, we say he's strong, he's weak. The weak person sometimes shows some strength. The strong person sometimes shows some weakness. So it's categories, they're broad. So, yeah, the Gyani, the person who's looking for knowledge, may sometimes be in financial distress also. But in broad categories, broad strokes, Krishna's painting. If you say there's four kinds of people in the world, then you have to be painting in broad strokes.
He was talking about the different kinds of transcendentalists.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Krishna say that, like, all transcendentalists are dear to him?
Mm-hmm.
So even if somebody is pursuing,
yeah, they're after Krishna in one aspect or another of his existence. Therefore, they're they're better. Tapasvi bhyodiko yogi. What is that? Gyani bhyopi. Tapasvi bhyodiko yogi.
646.
646. We've got the number down.
Like a savant. Pull the number out.
Pasvi bhyodiko yogi, gyani bhyopi patodika, karmi bhyaschadiko yogi, tasmad yogi. He gives a hierarchy. Better than the karmi is the gyani. Better than the gyani is the tapasvi. Better than the tapasvi is the yogi. So best to be a yogi. Yogi me, and best of all yogis is bhakti yogi. Yogi nama pisarvishan. You know what a yogi is? A yogi is a person who's connected to God by devotional service. He's the best yogi. You can be a yogi.
Without having to put your leg in.
Yeah, you don't have to do something. You've seen those kind of yogis, right? So no, you haven't seen them. Okay, you didn't miss anything.
I want to ask the same question which I asked you yesterday in the program. That's the continuation of it. I always wonder that what inspires this impersonalist to pursue their path so seriously? Are they trying to become one with the God?
Yeah,
or
there's different things.
If they understand that this is the sovereign aspect of the personal, then why are they not attracted by
the
God?
No, they don't understand that. They don't say, oh, this is the impersonal aspect of the personality of God.
Okay.
First thing is, generally, they start off by saying, whoa, this world isn't working. You know, there's miseries, there's troubles, I'm not satisfied, it's a world of suffering. That's the first thing. So they want to get out, nirvana. They want to escape from suffering. So that's usually the first consideration. That I'm not on the right platform. So then they realize something, yes, that I'm not this body, I'm spirit. So then they're making progress, they're feeling better. And then they think, so I'm spirit, then I'm part of the greater spirit. And then they think that let me merge with that spirit, because they don't know, because they don't have the pious credit. If they had more pious credit, they would think, let me serve. But because they're short on pious credit, they think, let me merge. Or because they're short, actually their knowledge is incomplete. Because when their knowledge is complete, bahunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prapajate, then they surrender to Krishna. But because they have incomplete knowledge, they only know the impersonal feature, but they don't know the Paramatma feature or the Bhagavan feature. And then they just go as far as they know. Their knowledge is limited.
Paramatma is there in each and every heart and also each and every atom, right?
Yeah.
So we give more emphasis sometimes to the heart Paramatma. I mean,
there's only one Paramatma. But generally, you can go looking in the Paramatma, in between the atoms, you may have a hard time finding it. If you look in your heart, you have a better shot at it. Mm. The yogis are advised to find God within the heart.
Sometimes Paramatma and the Brahman feature look similar to me in the sense they are all pervading. So how do we distinguish? The Paramatma have a form.
Yeah, that's the...
What happens to somebody who's meditating on Paramatma when they're at the end of this life, if they achieve perfection that way?
They either want to merge or they want to serve.
So it's just the next level, or either in either direction.
Yeah.
Yesterday you answered that while working you can think of Krishna just like a lover thinks of beloved. But in that case, there is a prerequisite that he is a love, but we are still developing love, so.
Yeah, so a little love is required. Otherwise, before love, a little discipline. You're advised. You chant this many rounds, or you do this early in the morning. You read something. You hear something. Different practices. Beginning is practice. And by practice, it becomes love. Even something you want to think of it, by practice, you're thinking. And the practice becomes rewarding, then naturally, spontaneously, you do that. Something else? Who's missing prasadam still? We'll take a few more questions, or whatever questions there are, till everyone's... taken care of, yes.
Not really a question, but I was thinking one way we're trying to be God is like we sort of wish that we could do something. Mm-hmm. We could do things without getting reactions for doing this.
Mm.
Like if we do, like God, he can do whatever he wants and there's no reaction.
Yeah, we'd like to get away with everything.
Yeah. So in that sense, we're only God.
Mm.
Something's been on my mind. You were mentioning last night.
Speak about.
You were mentioning last night that if you're at the University of Florida and someone asks you, well, what did you do there? You said the main goal for someone there is education.
Mm.
And if you just say, well, I ate.
Mm.
Is an incidental thing of a bodily need, so that it's not a real promising report for someone who's enrolled. So I was thinking of that in relation to practicing Krishna consciousness, that the goal of going to the University of Florida is to get a good education and then go on with your life. And sometimes I feel like in my own life that my practice of Krishna consciousness is more like the report of the person who is going to the university and said, well, I ate because I take prasadam every day.
Mm-hmm.
And but sometimes I feel that there's a clear goal, like the student's clear goal is to gain an education. and I often feel like I need or like or ought to have a stronger sense of my goal as a devotee.
Mm. That's good. Our goal is to love Krishna, to serve Krishna in pure devotional service. If we're coasting, then we're coasting. Therefore, we need to be reminded of the goal, or we need to remind ourselves of the goal, that it's not just eating, sleeping, being comfortable, working. Yeah, you don't have enough hands.
Can I get one without salad, please?
You want to make two of that salad since we...
The goal is to develop the qualities of a Vaishnava. One of the qualities is Vaishnava loves Krishna. Or actually, the main quality is Vaishnava loves Krishna, and because he loves Krishna, he has all good qualities. What a man. That's a without salad. That's with salad.
That's with salad. So, okay, we're already making massive.
Have some more salad.
Have a lot of salad.